Hi, this is Apostle Guillermo Maldonado. Welcome to my podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I pray that this message empowers you in your walk with God and in your purpose. Enjoy.
The Lord bless you. You may be seated. God bless you. You may all be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let me just get into this morning. I want you to follow me this morning. I'm speaking to you, and whatever you're doing tonight, do not miss tonight's service. Whatever you do not miss it. This morning, I'm speaking on conditioned for the glory. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, conditioned for the glory. Okay, now let me just start out by saying this because it needs to be said. You know, if I say to you, Noah, an ark would come to your mind. Because when you think of men, you don't just think of who they are, but you think of what they did or what they were assigned to. So if I said to you, Noah, you think of the ark. Is that correct? It would be true to say. If I said to you, Moses, you'd think of Moses and Pharaoh, the children of Israel, because we know that story. If I said to you, Samson and Delilah, the obvious would come to mind. Is that true? If I said to you, Judas Iscariot, everything will come to mind. But we know men by their assignments. And down through the ages and in different movements, God raises up people. It's something that we cannot always explain or understand, but there's things that God does on the earth through a man, through a woman, through people. God's plan always includes people. Somewhere, and it's not a question of whether or not you are worthy of it. You got to understand this. This is the sovereignty of God. How can God use somebody like David? He was an adulterer, whatever, but he was God's choice. Samson was God's choice. And so when you touch what is God's choice, then you're not touching the person, you are touching God. And so that's why what people don't know about, they should never talk about. So when God raises people up, he raises people in moments. Say the word moments. In the Azusa Street Revival, let me just show you how God works and then how the devil intervenes. Have you ever heard of the Azusa Revival? Okay, let me say this to you. Did you know that the Church of God in Christ, what you call or what you know as the Black Church, did you know that the Church of God in Christ and the Assembly of God was once one church? And they were split over racism. Now, pause a second. Can you imagine with so much move of the Spirit, but yet color was still seen? And there were people that were raised up in that movement like William Daddy Seymour. Some of the things you don't know, that man saw miracles that today people haven't seen. He was a black man that was raised up in the Azusa Street Revival. He technically was the father of it. Did you know that back then, people came to that meeting with no limbs and left with limbs? They don't tell you that. All they just tell you is he got people to speak in tongues. No, the man had creative miracles. Okay, well, out of that movement, a lot of denominations were born. And then in the 1940s, another movement came. And out of movements, please hear me, out of movements, men and women were raised. men and women were raised. In every movement, there is a man. There is a woman. Okay. In the last 10 years, God has, now you've got to hear this. I'm one of those people, I'm very careful what I say because I don't believe in deifying a person. I just will not do that. But the Bible says to give honor to where honor is due. Amen. Okay, in the last, I would say particularly 10 years in America, there are a lot of voices. There's a lot of, I'm being careful how I say this. There's a lot of voices in America. Some good, some in between, and some just shouldn't even have a voice. But the bottom line of it is, out of those voices in this current move of God, God raised up and has raised up Apostle Maldonado. Now, listen to me carefully now. In raising him up, he raised you up. Whatever God is doing, somewhere, somehow, in the scheme of God's plan, you are a huge part of it. So God raises up men in seasons and in moments, and he connects you to mantles in a moment. That's the way God works. I'm saying all of that to say this, because in this movement now, there's not, I'm going to be very truthful, there's not too many voices. There's a lot of echoes. I hear my, well, I better be careful. There's a lot of echoes. Now, I'm not talking about people. Now, if you're connected to me, you can share what I teach you because we're connected. But somebody outside of me who don't know me would, if you pick up someone's sword and you don't know how to wield it, you're going to have problems. You're lifting something you are not designed to lift. It's like Thor. You can't lift that hammer. You understand that? But if you're connected to somebody and you're in covenant with somebody, of course you can. So God has raised up Apostle Maldonado. And in doing so, he has raised up this house. But when God raises up a house or a ministry, opposition comes. I'm going to tell you that from experience. Opposition comes. Now, let me say this to you. If you weren't doing anything for God, you wouldn't have an opposition. It's because the devil sees where you are going and he doesn't want you to get to your destination. So he sends division. He sends splits because that's the strategy of the devil. If you can divide a people, you can break a people. So God has raised you up. And listen to me right now. Pat yourself. Just do something. Pat yourself. You know why I said pat yourself? With all what's going on, keep patting yourself. Listen to this. You're still here. You know what that means? God is not done with you. Now, if that doesn't make you shout, I don't know what will. I said God is not done with you. In fact, he's just getting started with you. So stay focused and don't throw in the towel now. Because there is a glory that you have not seen, that God is about to reveal. So I want you this morning to stay focused, stay connected to your man of God, and I promise you, you're going to be blessed. So this morning, in fact, let's give the Lord a clap offering for Apostle Maldonado. Amen. Amen. So, now, I know a lot of you take notes, and believe me, you're going to have to take notes because I'm going to tell you right now, you will not retain all of what I'm going to say. Every one of you at home, please stay connected. I promise you, like I said, this is going to come so fast and so furious that the only person who's going to be upset is your head. Okay? So that's why I say what you can, you got to remember, your spirit hears it, but your mind can miss it because we only hear in a moment. But your spirit actually takes in the totality of a thing. And then the Bible says the Lord brings it to your remembrance. Well, for him to bring it to your remembrance, you'd have had to have first heard it before. Okay, so that's why I'm teaching you right now this morning. Listen with your spirit, please. Say amen. Amen. All right, don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. All right. Okay, so listen to this now. Let me take my glasses off. Are we ready? Okay. I want you to write these things down. Conditioned for the glory. Conditioned for the glory. What is the glory? There's a lot of people that speak about the glory, but I'm going to be very truthful to you. There's not that many people that know the glory. The glory is not a study. Now, remember what I said now. There's nothing wrong with studying because, you know, that's your effort to know something. Okay. But the Bible says pertaining to the glory of God, the Bible says that the glory has to be what? Revealed. If it's not revealed, you can study and you can quote what Paul says. You can quote what John says. You can quote what Isaiah says. But until it's revealed, you don't know the glory. And so when we say the glory, what is the glory? Now, I don't mean to choke you, but this is somewhat going to choke you this morning. I'm going to give you a lot of bullet points and then get into the scriptures, because I've got a lot of scriptures to give you, at least 7 or 8. So what is the glory? What is the glory? Because we're talking about the glory now. We're in a season where we're going to have to understand what this really is. What is the glory? Write these things down. What is the glory? The glory is the personality of God. The word glory in the Bible, there's over 148 references to the word glory. So what does it mean? What does it mean when we say the glory? Please write these things down. Amen. What is the glory? Write these things down. It is both the presence of God, the movement of God, by the sovereignty of God. And the glory is also honor. And in the honor aspect of the glory is where we access, say the word access, is where we, say the word louder. You at home, say with me, access. It's where we access divine credit. It's where we access the resources of God. Now, hear this now. Relating to the word honor, why is honor important to understanding the glory? 1 Timothy 2:30 says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor them." Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here wants to tap into a place of God where there is a continuous flow of divine supply? Amen. Yes. Where there is supernatural sufficiency? Yes. Where there is divine abundance? Say amen. Amen. That is related to the honor inside of God's glory. But did you know that one of the references to the glory of God is the word judgment? There is no such thing as a judgment of faith. There is no such thing. Every time in the Bible where God has judged a thing or a person, he judges from his glory because it's sovereign. Say the word sovereign. Now, come on, I want to hear you. Say it with me, sovereign. Now, how many of you here know that what God does, no man can undo? I don't think you heard me. I'm going to say it to you one more time. I said, how many of you here know that what God does, no man can undo? Now, I'm going to say it to you again because you're sounding like a Baptist. I said, how many of you here know that what God does, no one can undo? Okay, you know, let me give you a personal application for it. So that means who God blesses. Well, you hear me this morning. Who God blesses, no witch, no warlock, hello, no wizard. If God has blessed you, no man can curse you. It makes no difference who they are. It makes no difference what position they are in. But if God has blessed you, then why would you be worried about what people say about you? It will always rebound. The first thing you've got to make sure is that the blessing is there. Because if it's not there, then a curse can work. Amen. Don't shout me down. Amen. So hear it again. I'm going to say that to you again. When we say, what is the glory? Write these things down. I want you watching this at home, write these things down. It is both the presence of God. It's both, the glory is both the presence of God, and the glory is also a movement. That's why the Bible says it's from glory, because the glory is a movement. And the glory testifies to the sovereignty of God. And we also understand the word honor is related to the word glory. Now, write these things down. So when we read scriptures, it will fall into its place to you. Write these words down, please. What is the glory? It's the majestic beauty of God. It's God showing himself. It's the unfiltered presence of God. There are words that describes the presence of God relating to the glory of God. Now, you're going to understand this, because this is something that you have to see this to understand it. There are words describing the presence of God relating to the glory of God. You got to understand this now. The presence of God, say the word presence. Say it aloud, presence. The word presence is translated as face. That's what it is. Okay, that's the presence. But it's different to saying the glory. That was an exciting amen. You say, what do I mean by that? You can be in his presence, but not understand his glory. And you can see his glory and not be in his presence, because the glory can also precede him. Like when a king is going to a country, do you know that a king's twain or a king's glory goes ahead of him? And it waits for him to get there. In other words, part of a king's glory is his procession. Notice when a king would like. When there's a wedding, do you notice in the Western world? Do you notice when there's a wedding? Do you notice there's people that come in before the bride. There's a possession. In the glory of God, there is a possession before he actually shows up. So we have to understand when we say glory and we say the word presence. And I'm gonna surprise you with something. You can see the glory, say the word the glory, say it again, the glory. Okay. Because we're going somewhere today. In fact, we're going to a lot of places today. Write these things down, please. So, there are words that describe the presence of God relating to his glory. And there's a Greek word, and it's pronounced doxa. You say doxa, but they actually pronounce it as doxa. And what it literally means is this. It means all that God, wow, all that God was, all that God is, and it means all that God has. Words relating to the glory. Say the word glory. Say the word glory. Words relating to it. Majestic. Say the word majestic. David said it like this. Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And there's another word. It's the word awesome. You know, I know that I've even heard some of you use it. It's kind of upsetting. Because I think we just throw around a slang word. We say, oh, that's good. And instead of saying, oh, that's good, or that's nice, that's what we say. We don't say that anymore. We say, it's awesome. What does that mean? Really, what does that mean? It's something today that in the church you don't see much. The word awesome, it means to be filled with reverence. Now, that word alone right there alters your behavior in the presence. When you're filled with awe, how do you cut it? My God, how do you know when someone has reached the presence of God? You're not distracted anymore. You didn't hear me this morning. You're not distracted by what's going on. By what people are saying, or by what people are doing. You say, why? Because when you are filled with awe, you don't have time for anything or anyone else. When you are filled with awe, hear me. There's reverence to the presence of God. How you know when people are in the house of God but not the presence of God, is they still act the same. They get up, I'm just gonna be plain. You get up, you move around, you talk, you do stuff that indicates you don't realize the presence. You're treating God the way you would treat man. Now, one thing I will tell you, about what we call nominal churches, like a Catholic church, and I just go away reference. A Catholic church or a Baptist church. Do you notice? You do not see people walking up and down. We're the only people who are spirit-filled where you see this. There is no reverence in most spirit-filled houses. I better be careful. Now I'm gonna get in trouble now. We come to church. We sit down. We even chew our gum. We don't even know how to sit in God's. Did you know the Bible is a funny book? Do you know the Bible teaches you even how to sit in the presence of God? There is no awe Because the church now doesn't know the presence. We say glory, but we think that glory is just a word. No, in the life of the believer, reverence is the attitude you have towards the presence. When people see your attitude, from your attitude comes your conduct. Your conduct is your lifestyle. That's how people can tell if you know God or not. There is no awe in the church today. That's why we haven't seen it. Let me show you this awe. Psalms 96, verse 35 from the Amplified Bible. I want you to please stay connected at home. I tell you this before God. I've got a beautiful wife. God's given me a beautiful wife. We've known each other since we were teenagers. And we pretty much grew up in the same circle of churches. And I'm going to tell you something about what we grew up seeing. And my aim this morning is to bring you to the presence of God. Is that all right? And let me just tell this by way of reference. It's going to speak a lot to you. Do you know that we came out of spirit-filled churches where not even a child would move? That was one of the ways how you really knew the presence was there. When the glory would move, the children would either be still or they'd fall asleep. That's why people who come out of generations of churches where the presence was, when they walk into a church now, they don't see presence. Because they know what the presence looks like. We saw women slain, pregnant, and there were no ushers. You see, you don't know that. You don't know that dimension. Where a pregnant woman would slain, fall out. And back then, there were no ushers. Because back to then, we realized it. If it was God, first of all, you wouldn't be slain to begin with. If it's God and you're slain, you're not going to get hurt. See, we grew up understanding all of that. Because we understood if it's God, it's real. It's not a courtesy drop. That's why too many akaraboshai. That's why too many getting slain and getting up the same, because it was never God to begin with. Reverence. That's how I know that you know God's presence. Be still and know. The knowing is being still. David said, Psalm 68, verse 35, from the Amplified Bible, "Oh God, you are awesome and profoundly majestic. From your sanctuary, the God of Israel gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God." Oh God, you are awesome. Genesis says it like this. Genesis 28, 17 says, "So," this is Jacob now, after he had his encounter with God. He said, "So he was afraid and said," "So he was afraid and said, how fearful and awesome is this place?" Pause right there now. This is none other than the house of God. Oh, stop. Stop right there this morning. What is your attitude towards even coming in the church? This is the house of God. It's not the house of your friend. It's not the house of your brother. It is the house of God Almighty. And Jacob said at this place, he said, it's a place of fear. God in his house is awesome. Jacob, he was so afraid and said, how fearful. What have we lost in the church? Come on, talk to me now. You got mighty quiet. What do we lost right now? I said, what have we lost? We've lost the fear of God because we no longer know God. And when you no longer know God, anything is acceptable. Let me read the whole thing now. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. Jacob's approach to the house of God. He said, this place is awesome. In other words, Jacob identified the presence with the house of God. I put it to you this morning. If there is no presence, it's not the house of God. It is the house of man. And in the house of man, flesh is on parade. It is the exaltation of flesh because there is no God but the God of organized Christianity, and there's little knowledge of God. Exodus 15:11. Listen to what he says now. Please stay tuned. Listen to this now. The awe of God. Amy Simple McPherson was ministering. She had a supernatural encounter. She had an encounter with God while ministering. And she froze. I can't remember. I want you to imagine this. She froze like this for several days. It's recorded. She didn't drop. I want you to imagine. Can you imagine standing like this for an hour? 2 minutes. She froze for several days. Whatever she saw took something out of her. She was transfixed. That's why you've heard me say many, many, many times, when the glory really falls, you don't see a clock. You're not interested in wanting to get home. You're more interested in getting into the presence of God. It's the presence of God that changes you. Exodus 15:11 says, who is like you among the gods? O Lord, who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome, say the word awesome, in splendor, working wonders. Let me ask this question. Why is the glory important? Why is the glory important? Listen to this. Write this down. Why is the glory important? Because in the glory, is where God reveals his name, and in the glory is where he gives an endorsement. I'm gonna say it to you again. The glory is where he reveals his name, and it's where God endorses something. I better be careful. Oh, hallelujah. Can you sense something, a little bit of what I'm sensing? The anointing is not always an endorsement, because the anointing is for work. The anointing, you got to understand, see, you got to understand the gifts and callings. See, you're not hearing me this morning. You know the scriptures. The Bible says the gifts and callings are what? Without repentance. That's why anybody can prophesy. I know it's going to sound funny, because you can, see, because you, I better, let me just help you. See, because your gifts can still work, don't mean you're right. Because you can still prophesy, because you can still lay hands and the Lord can use you. No, you mistake your position for the person who's actually believing God. God is actually bypassing you, and he's doing it for the person, because the person's in faith. You're not in the right character, but the person is in faith. What God is confirming is the person's faith, not your character. He bypassed you. That's why we got a lot of that's why we got a lot of people in church who act like they got power but don't have character. See, let me just move on. So the glory, say the word glory. Say the word the glory. It's where God reveals and gives his name or an endorsement. What's one of the most powerful things that God says from Genesis to Revelations? What does he always say concerning his people? The greatest promise ever made. He said, I will be. Come on, you watching me at home, I want to see you all connect. This is important. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. His promise is to be what? With you. Now, do you know that term where it says with you is not always translated as presence? It's translated as God being for you. Oh, hallelujah. I've got a lot of people against me. I've got a lot of people tearing my name down. But guess what? It makes no difference, because I know who is. One with God, standing on truth, is the majority. If you stand by God's word, his word will what? Stand by you. Exodus 20, verse 23 and 14. Let me just prove that scripture to you. This is after the children of Israel had a visitation of God, and it's a continuation from Exodus 19. Where the Ten Commandments were given, and many of you might not know it, but the Ten Commandments was actually given on Pentecost. It was the giving of the law. The first Pentecost was under the law. Now listen to what it says now. Exodus 20, verse 23 and 24. It says, you shall not make other gods to worship besides me. Gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make these lifeless idols for yourself. You shall make an altar of earth for me, and sacrifice on it burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your ox in every place where, here is now, where I cause my name to be recorded and remembered. That's why every time God would speak, what would you hear God say? He would say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God always declares his name over his people. What does it do? In fact, lift your hands up. I feel it. Just lift your hands up right now. Acknowledge the presence of God. He's an awesome God. I said he's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. He's majestic. He is all powerful. He is almighty. Who can compare to him? He made the heavens and the earth by the power of his word. He stands alone. He holds the universe up by a word. None can match him in power or might. He is God Almighty. And God says, I will not have no one else before me. That's why in his presence, you don't speak of a man. In his presence, you don't see a man. Oh, that's strong. In his presence, you don't see a man. You're not hearing me this morning. In his presence, you don't see a man. Because if you see a man, the man is an idol. When you come to the house of God, I'm going to tell you this right now. When you come to the house of God, if you come to see people, that's the wrong place to come see people. What does the glory do? Say glory. Say glory. What does the glory do? Now this gets a little intricate. Write these points down. I want you to watch this at home. Stay tuned. This is going to determine what God does in your life is if you can make the time to reverence him. You know what we do? We don't obey God. And then at the end of the service, we want the man of God to come pray for us again. The man cannot bring back the presence of God. You missed what God was doing in his presence because subconsciously you put the man in the place of God. I'm going to tell you, that's why God's shaking a lot of things here. And I'm talking not here, I'm talking the whole body of Christ. We see men too much. You're not called to see a man. You didn't hear me? I said, you're not called to see a man. Can I tell you something? The minute you see a man, let me tell you what happens. No, I won't. No, because I can go a whole different direction. Because we're complex as people. That's why the minute we see people for what they always were, but you didn't know that's what they always were, you don't love them anymore. You can't serve them anymore. Because only from God's perspective can you see a person. See, if I look at you from my perspective, you're Hispanic. I'm not told to look at you as Hispanic. No, don't come in here. This is important. I'm not told to, and you're not told to look at me as black. You're not told to look at me as Jamaican or Jew or British. That's the problem in the church. We have a class mentality in church. We have our own prejudices. We just don't call it prejudiced. What does the glory do? Can I tell you this right now? I'm going to be careful. I am convinced a lot of us who use the word glory don't want the glory. You know what we want? We want what we can get from God. But we don't want the glory. Dr. Marina has been in ministry now 40 years. 40 years. And we, because that's been our assignment, is to bring miracles and the glory of God and finances to our house. And I can, she could pick up where I left off right now, and it would, let me just move on. Let me tell you something. Do you know what the glory does? Do you want to hear what it does? I said, do you want to know what the glory does? I'm going to tell you what the glory does, and then you're going to tell me whether or not you want it. I'm not going to tell you you're going to like what I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. What the glory does, number one, it reveals God, but it exposes man. That's how you know when the glory is coming to a house, because the hidden things start to be revealed. All of a sudden you start to see people for what they really are. And let me tell you something, a hypocrite is a hypocrite. A backbiter is a backbiter. A gossiper is whatever you are. The glory exposes that. So when people say to me, oh, Pastor Rennie, you don't know what's going on at my church. And they say, well, this is happening. I said, well, that tells me the glory. That tells me the glory is getting ready to come into the house. Because if God doesn't expose it, He won't clean the house. There is a cleaning before the glory will come and stay. That's why I say a lot of people don't want it. Now listen, I could literally tell you houses that started in faith, started with miracles, but when the glory came, characters were exposed. Well, that's why whatever you are, can I ask this question? Have you ever heard the saying, iron and clay doesn't mix? If you put oil in water, does the oil sink? It's two separate entities that cannot connect. When a person, that's why when a person is not right, they avoid the house of God. I'm telling you what I know. That's why when a person is not, I don't care who it is. That's why when a person is not right, the last thing you want to do is face the presence. Because everybody sees what you are. Hear me, what you see in the presence of God about someone is not a lie. It's the way God has seen them all along. God saw them before you ever could glimpse what their weaknesses were. Some of you are sitting there, no. You better get real and learn your Bibles. Because I'm telling you, the glory is gonna expose. God will not bring His glory till certain things are exposed. The glory reveals God, but it exposes the character of man. And when people are not right, it is visible. Now, they might try and excuse it. But you know, I was taught in my little country church, every excuse is a lie. It was when I heard it 50 years ago, and it's still true today. Every excuse is a lie. You know what you should do, but you're trying to make an excuse why you didn't do it. Let me show you how the glory reveals God, but exposes the character of man. Okay, I'm going to have to get in. I have to go further. You have no idea what I can't get into. I'm going to go into it in pieces. Isaiah said it like this. Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 7. In the year King Uzziah died. In the year King Uzziah died. Now, the word Isaiah, the word Uzziah has a good meaning. It means the God of strength. But it can also mean everybody has an Uzziah. Whatever you put ahead of God is your Uzziah. Abraham got comfortable with the promise till God said, give me your Isaac. When God, I heard a man, his name was Paul Trulin. He said a word in the 80s that is true to this day. And I just my hand tingling, just feeling it. He said, God disturbs your present to create your future. And as old as I felt, oh God, I felt it. When I tell you that as old as Abraham was, he still had a future. But it rested on if he could give up an Isaac. Your future begins with what you're holding on to, if you can give that back to God. Can you give the business back to God? Whatever it is, can you give your ministry back to God? Whatever you can give back to God, God holds you in contempt. The year King Uzziah died, he said, I saw a vision, the Lord sitting on a throne, high and exalted, with the twain of his royal robe filling the most holy part of the temple. Above the seraphim, the heavenly beings stood each having, each one had six wings. With two wings, he covered his face. Let me just say this right now. In the glory, there's a part that God covers. And then there's a part that God reveals. Isaiah didn't see it all. You know why? Because no angel has seen it all. And the seraphims are close to the throne, but they haven't seen all of God. No man has ever seen all of God. But hear what he goes on to say now. Let me just get into this verse. Go on and get to this now. They then cry out, holy, holy, holy. Say the word, holy, holy, holy. Without even realizing it prophetically, three is the number of witness. Holy, 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 holy. Three holies. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Because in the glory, it is the manifestation of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they said, holy, holy, holy. And then he said, the whole earth is filled with his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out. And the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me. In the presence of his glory, you are not in arrogance. You are not in pride. That's why when you see someone in pride, in arrogance, did you know that pride is an offshoot of rebellion? You are in rebellion to the personality of God. You are making yourself what you're not to be in his presence. And Isaiah was a prophet, and he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. There's a lot of lips in the house of God right now. but is not circumcised. You didn't hear me. I said there's a lot of prophets right now who don't have a circumcised heart. There's a lot of prophets right now who are no longer hearing God, because in rebellion, you don't hear God. You rebel against the law of God. Isaiah saw, hear me, Isaiah saw the glory, but he saw himself. Listen to this. Till a person sees themselves, they don't change. Every one of you at the end of that camera, listen to me good. Until you see yourself, you don't change. I'm going to say it to you one more time. Till you see yourself, you don't change. You're comfortable with stinking flesh. Now watch this now. What else does the glory do? It ushers, this is what we see in the life of Isaiah. I need some more minutes. What else does the glory do? It ushers in divine change. This is a prophet answering the call of God, realizing that he wasn't prepared until he was cleansed. So a hot coal was taken off the altar and put in his mouth. That's why one of the trademarks of a prophet is the word that's in their mouth. Is it pure? When a person has a motive, they're not pure. Please write these things down. You can't go before a people with a hole in your soul. I'm going to say it again. You can't go. People, hear me good. Many of you want to itch to go preach and go do stuff. You better hear me. The issue isn't the pulpit you seek. The issue is the hole in your heart. See, when a person's in pain, they preach from pain. When a person's bitter, that's why there's a hardness that you see in people. It comes from the fact that their heart's not soft. That's why a lot of people can lead people for a moment, but they can't sustain people, because eventually your hard heart comes up and is exposed. You can't go before a people with a hole in your heart, because the glory exposes your soul. It exposes the unregenerated you. It exposes the part of you that is not changed, that is not submitted to God. Now, this is the key. When you stay in his presence, the glory changes your life. Oh, you've gone mighty quiet this morning. Can I tell you something? If the truth be told, this is not a clap shouting message, because we're talking about the presence of God. Hear it again now. So when you stay in his presence, the glory changes your life. But when you come out of the presence, how do you know when you've come out of the presence? Because you try to change the things in your life that you now cannot change, because you're no longer in the presence for God to do it. You're doing it by yourself. That's why you're struggling with a change. You're trying to do it yourself instead of getting in the presence, letting God deal with your heart. You can tell a person, but hear me, till they get in the presence, they don't change. That's why what a person says when they're in the presence of, you know when somebody's two-faced? What they say before you, they say something different behind you. You've got a lot of two-faced believers. Because what we say in the presence of God is not what we say when we leave it, which proves we are not changed. Hear this now. Now listen good. That's why a person's true state is seen in their body language in the presence. That's why when a person can't lift their hands to worship, don't tell them to lift their hands. You know why they can't? Because they're not right. Don't tell them to worship because they can't, because they're not right. Because your body language, you cannot fake body language in his presence. You know why you can't fake it? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, come on, talk to me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. The reason why you're not free is because you're not right. And you cannot put on a show because people can see through it. Because God will not allow you to have liberty in his presence. You can't fake it. When you're disobedient to God's word, listen to this. When you're disobedient to God's word, it makes you an outsider to the presence. You didn't hear it good. You're in the church where everybody else is, but you are an outsider to the presence. In other words, it means God will not accept you in his presence. You're not accepted. So you know what happens? And some of you right now, you might have experienced it, and some of you might be experiencing it. Listen to this, because it's going to really expose and explain a lot. I'll say that line to you again. That's why a true person's state is seen in their body language in the presence. Because God will not allow you to have liberty in his presence. You can't fake it. When you're disobedient to God's word, you are an outsider. To the presence, God won't even allow you to feel it or sense it. So that's why when you look at some people and you don't understand why they're not in what's happening, that right there should expose to you what they are. You're backslidden and you don't even know it. Because God, because of your conduct, has barred you from his presence. Now, he hasn't barred you from his house, but he's barred you from the presence. And I'm going to show you why. Because disobedience puts you in hostility towards God. And let me tell you how people are. God, this is the Holy Ghost, you've been here. This is how people are. When people are hostile and they're not right, any scripture you quote, they think you're talking about them. Because you're so sensitive to your own mess. And instead of saying to yourself, wow, I need to get that right, your heart hardens and you justify yourself. How can you say that the preacher is preaching on you when it's the Bible? It's the Word of God. Why are you so hostile to truth? You're hostile to truth because you're in rebellion to the Word. Now, hear it. Did you know that in the Bible, hostility is seen as an act of war? And you are, wow. So you know what that means? You become hostile towards God. You become hostile towards the Word. And you become hostile to whoever preaches the word. Be- because Satan has to give you an excuse to justify your own rebellion. I remember years ago when somebody would preach the word of God. Hear me, if I preached a salvation message, who am I speaking to? Talk to me. Okay, if I preach healing, who am I talking to? The sick. Okay, if I preach on holiness, who am I talking to? The church. Whether you are apostle, private evangelist, makes no difference. We're talking to the whole church. This ain't done. I ain't nowhere near done. I've got to behave myself. I have to stop. Now, I'm not joking. You have no idea. I'm not nowhere near done. Hear me. I'm going to close with this. I'm asking, just give me 2 more minutes, please, and I promise I'll stop. In the presence of God, I'm going to tell you this. I want you to listen to this good. We are changed by his presence, by the word of God. Listen to me good. I want you to, wherever you are listening to me, at home right now, listen to this good. There's a script, there's many scriptures we quote out of context. We are changed in the presence by the word. Now listen to this now. Why are we changed by the word in the presence? Because the word keeps you in his presence. Can I upset you with something? Worship. That's why there's a difference between a worship concert. That's good. Nothing wrong. That's good. But there's a difference between just having worship. That's why if you just have worship and there's no word, worship is for God, not for you. That's why when you do it, that's why a lot of houses cannot do long worship. You say why? Because the worship is for God. The word is for you. That's why when you go to a meeting or you go to a church and you, please don't mishear me, hear me in the spirit of what I'm saying. That's why if you go to a meeting and all you're seeing is people dancing, worshiping, and waving their flags, and there's no word, that is bound to implode. Because worship is God. The word is for us. Because the Bible says, man shall not live. The word has to come. And if the word doesn't come, you're not sustained. Let me tell you why it's important. Jesus mercy. Let me tell you why it's important. Why? Without the word, you can't live in the presence. Let me tell you why. Listen to me good. You want to hear it? You on the end of this camera, you want to hear it? Let me tell you why. Adam was in the glory. And when he didn't keep the word, he was removed. You are sustained in the presence, not just by the glory. You're sustained by the word. And when you don't keep the word, God, like Adam, has to move you from it. You live in his presence by his word. Man shall not live by bread alone. When Adam didn't keep the word, God said, in other words, because you didn't keep my word, I can't keep you in this place of glory. And he removed him. That's why I'm saying, do we just want faith? Do we just want what we can get out of God? Or do you really want the glory?
Church that is here and the church that is watching online, I want to ask you to please just close your eyes, bow your heads, just for a few minutes. Just for a few minutes. This is such an important part of our services every single Sunday. We want to give every person that comes inside God's house this very important opportunity, a moment, and everyone that is watching online too. If you heard this message, if you're here dedicating this Sunday morning to God, but you're standing in your home, wherever you're watching from, or you're here sitting, listening to me, and inside of your heart, you are unsure where you will go the day you die. We need to know that one day all of us will die. There will be a moment where God will say, that's it. And that moment of life will no longer be inside of us. It's something we don't like to think about. It's something we don't like to talk about, but it's something that it's a reality. It's part of life. The question is, where will you be when that day happens? It's the question that God asked me. I'm here standing as a man asking that to you, but I had God ask me that question. And God sent many people to ask me that question. I ask you that question, where will you be the day that you die? I could not answer God when he told me. I could not give him the answer that I wanted to give him. And maybe you cannot give God the answer. I could not tell him, I'm going to heaven. I couldn't say that. Something inside of me would not give me the peace to say, you will be in heaven. In fact, because people spoke to me about Jesus for so many years, and they preached the true, real gospel to me message. They told me, Jesus loves you, and that is real. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But then they also told me, you have sin in your life. You have disobeyed God. You are separated from God because of your sin. And if you die in that condition, you're going to hell. It wasn't easy for me to hear that when they would tell me. But the day that God asked me the question, where will you be if you die, like all these people that you saw die, I remember what was told to me about hell. And it terrorized me inside to even think that I could be in hell. And there's people this morning that's your condition. You're not sure, but you want to go to heaven, but you don't know what you must do. I'll tell you what you must do. What so many of us, including myself, did, we must repent of our sin. And if we repent of our sin, we take away the separation that we have between God and us. And at that moment, if we welcome Jesus into our heart, he is just and faithful to forgive you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many times people have told you, no, God won't want nothing, or the devil has told you, God won't forgive you. God won't accept you. That's a lie from hell. So you can end up in hell. God will forgive you because he forgave me. God will accept you because he accepted me. God will welcome you because he welcomed me. And this morning, whoever you are, whether you're a man, a woman, or a young person, a business person, if you're here in the temple of God, in the house of God, if you're watching from another country, from another state, another city, and you say, Pastor, I want to go to heaven. I need Jesus in my life. There's no better day. There's no better hour. There's no better minute to do it than now. In fact, this is the very moment you must do it, because your next moment is not promised. Nobody's next moment is promised. No one can live and walk the earth knowing their next moment they'll be alive. If you're here alive and you're hearing me, this is the moment to make the decision. What decision must you make? Open your heart. Stop running away from God. Stop saying, I'll do it later. No, you must do this now. What must you do? Repent of your sin. Confess and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When I count to three, whoever you are here inside the church and there where you're watching online, whoever you are, man, woman, young person, when I count to three, if that's you and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want God in my life. Let me pray for you. Let me help you as someone helped me. Wherever you're sitting here in the church and wherever you're watching online, when I count to three, raise your hand so I can pray for you. One, two, three. Raise your hand quickly. God bless you. Raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I see your hand back there. God bless you. God bless you. Here on my right hand side, all the way in the back. I see your hand all the way in the back. God bless you. God bless you. Those that are watching online, I might not see you, but I know there's someone receiving Jesus. And raise him their hand. If you used to be a Christian and you walked away from God, this is the moment and day for you to reconcile with your Father. All those that used to be Christian, you used to serve God and walk right with God, but something happened and you stopped, and this morning you want to reconcile. When I count to three, you also raise your hand here in person and there at home. One, two, three. All the people that you want to reconcile with Jesus, raise your hand so I can see you. I see your hand. God bless you. Raise your hand. God bless you back there. If you're watching online, and you raise your hand. And all those of you that raise your hand here in person, I want you to do one more thing here and online. Stand to your feet. And I want the church to start giving these people a big hand clap of celebration and welcome. Stand. And if you raise your hand all the way in the back, on the sides, come out of your chair and come to the front. Come to the altar. And I want you at home to do as I am saying to stand from your couch. Stand from wherever you are. And I want you to stay standing. And those that are here in the church, come out. Come, come, come. In the altar is where God meets man and where man meets God. Don't stay in your chair. Come to the front. Come here and let us pray together with you. As the church family stands also, everyone in the church, stand and give a hand clap. Let these people feel the love that we have for them and that God has for them. I want those people that raise your hand all the way. I saw you in the back. I saw you here at my side. If you saw someone, raise your hand, and they need that extra help to come to the altar. Help them out. Tell them to come here. I'll wait for you. Come. Come, 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 come. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to accuse you. No, on the contrary. We're going to celebrate you. We're going to help you. And if you're at home, I want you to stay standing and feel this love and celebration that we are giving here in person to all the people. I want you to say this prayer. If you're still in the back seat, don't stay in the back. This here in the altar is where we reconcile and we receive Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come, come, come. Come, 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 come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I saw people on my far right-hand side raise their hand all the way in the back. Do not stay back there. This is where you must do it, at the altar with God. I want all those of you that are here in the front and those of you watching online, say this prayer in a loud voice with me. Close your eyes. Lift your hands to God. It's a sign that you are opening your heart and that you're giving your life to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Come. Come, come, come. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Say this prayer in the church. Help them say this prayer in a loud voice. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
This morning.
I recognize.
I have sinned.
And I repent.
Of all my sins. I receive.
And I confess.
Jesus Christ.
As my Lord.
And my Savior.
Lord Jesus.
I open my heart to you.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life. The day I die.
Now I know.
Without any doubt. Because of Jesus being my Lord and Savior.
When I open my eyes,
I will be in heaven with Him.
I am born again.
I am forgiven. I am a new person. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in. If you were blessed by this podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. If you need prayer, we have a team ready to pray for you. Just call the number 305-382-3171. 305-382-3171. If you would like more content that empowers your faith, visit King Jesus TV. Again, King Jesus TV. I love you. God bless you.